Thank you very much, Mr.
Merci beaucoup, Mr. Chair of the Committee of the Regions, Madam Chair of the Division of United Nations, Madam the Executive Director of the Doha International Institute, Madam the Chair of the IFFD, and my dear friends, you have invited me here in order to share with you some reflections on the link between poverty, work and life balance, as well as solidarity between generations. I would like, first of all, to thank Mrs. Kaczmarska for the trust she has placed in the organizers of this meeting today, and the trust she has shown for the experts meeting that will be held here throughout this week. I would like to express my deep gratitude and thanks to the IFFD for the commitment not only at the institutional level in Brussels, the European Union, with the help of the Qatar Foundation. I sincerely hope that this tripartite cooperation will make the preparation of the 20th anniversary of the International Year for the Family much richer. Its objective should be to give a more positive image to the family. Ladies and gentlemen, in its preamble, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that to free oneself of terror and misery should be the highest aspiration. In its Article 23.3, the wording is even more specific. Anyone gives right to an equal remuneration. We have loved the sound. The mic doesn't work. If you could do something. Thank you. Satisfying an equal remuneration guarantees the family an existence that is one of a human dignity and complete, and it provides a social protection. Along the same lines, the Universal Declaration states in Article 16 that starting from full age, men and women, without any distinction of race, nationality or religion, have the right to marry and to found a family. Family is the natural element, the basis of our society, and the right to the protection from the society and the state is well enshrined. The well-being of family should be at the center, at the crossroads between the public sphere and the private sphere. On the one hand, the family is a private affair. A woman and a man decide to marry and to found a family. It is a choice, a free choice, and an individual one. On the other hand, family is a public matter. In the family cell, the family nucleus, one transmits life, and future citizens are born in families. In this family nucleus is where the future citizens learn the human capacities. Children learn the sense of responsibilities, the respect for other people, and they develop their talents. As for my Irish colleague, Mrs. McGuinness, she's organizing this week a public audience on under the following title, Children Do Need Families, Not Institutions, which is a very telling title. The policies towards work-life families are exactly at the crossroads between public policies and private lives as far as families are concerned. Let me give you a concrete example. At the European Parliament, the 754 members spread throughout 27 national delegations and 7 political groups have been trying for 3 years to reach a common position as regards the improvement of the maternity leave. We all agree on the protection of pregnant women and young mothers as well as their children. Idealism is not costly, but if we really want to enshrine in the communitarian acquis the real value, the real added value of the European social model, the decision makers in Brussels and in the capitals are faced with an impressive resistance. All national and European institutions declare that they agree upon the demographic challenge, and nobody can longer ignore the threat of seeing falling the social security system, the fall of the social security system. But the opinions regarding the way in which we should protect young women and young fathers are quite divergent, especially on economic and financial security around the birth of a baby. Is it surprising, in the framework of the previous Lisbon strategy and even today in the framework of the strategy Europe 2020, a woman between 18 and 60 years old is considered as a potential worker, and 70% of them should be integrated in the formal employment market, it is considered. But in order to face this demographic challenge, the same woman between 15 and 49 years old, which is her best maternity years, is seen and approached as a mother. We are here faced with two public policies that are in conflict. The woman aged between 18 and 49 years old. The international political and economic institutions such as the United Nations, Council of Europe, OECD, World Bank, European Union underline today the primary focus on parents' responsibility for the well-being and development of their child. But the decision makers, the politicians, do not reflect that much on the material conditions that should be met in order for them to be in a good position to exert their parental authority without discriminating between men and women on the labor market or without seeing a latent precarity, time bomb effect in the precarity of women in social security systems at national level. We should ask the following questions. What is the price that society at large is ready to pay in order for mothers to be able to take care of their babies, of their newly born children? And what is the price that society at large is ready to pay so that the human capital of children can be developed during their early years? This project of founding a family and of welcoming children must be structured around the political world in order to reach a proper equation between cost and profit. But nobody thinks of founding a family based on money, profit, or revenue, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, the indicators of poverty should allow us to measure very concretely the well-being of family. And the poorest families are, in my view, the ones that should guide us in order to fight poverty. From a certain point of view, the poorest families are the touchstone of democracy, and they allow us to make humanity more humane. I would like to invite you to celebrate the World Day for the Eradication of Extreme Poverty that will be celebrated on October the 17th. The leitmotif of this World Day of the United Nations expresses very clearly the intention: put an end to the violence of misery, basing ourselves on the capacities we all have in order to build peace. Only by doing this will we be able to establish true and sound links of solidarity between generations. And the men and women that commit themselves today in order to animate the solidarity network should be acknowledged. Their commitment represents a crucial, a sterling contribution to the national wealth and to the common heritage. But this value is not integrated in the national accountancy systems. That is why mothers and fathers are exposed to a latent form of discrimination. Women and men have the right to choose freely their activity in which they can develop ourselves. It is a technical political challenge with a human face. And wanting to limit the concept of solidarity, intergenerational solidarity, limited to the care of children, would be an erroneous interpretation. It would be mistaken. Intergenerational solidarity aims at making us responsible towards all elder people, dependent people, and to promote the human capacities, abilities of citizens. The solidarity between generations affects as well the education as regards life, human dignity, environment, and its promotion with future generations. Solidarity between generations is, first of all, a matter of social justice. It is the founding stone. It is the foundation, rather, of the future of our common heritage in Europe and in the member states. Solidarity between generations actively contributes to the creation of human capacities and abilities of citizens. As for directors of human resources, do all agree today that human abilities should be recognized as degrees were recognized before. It is absolutely necessary to value in explicit and positive way this principle, this value, which creates wealth for our society. The European Union should set up a political framework in order to reach that goal. And mothers, women and mothers, should be the first one to invest in this solidarity between generations, in that it builds the social link. They now receive an important support, since the economic experts have made light and have explained how important it was to use economic and mathematic models. I'm thinking of domestic labor, education of children, welcoming dependent persons, or animating solidarity networks between generations. This is absolutely crucial, and it contributes to the economy and social life as well. According to research from economists and demographic experts, the contribution of mothers to the GDP should not be underestimated. It would be higher if their non-remunerated work was accounted for. We can no longer close our eyes. We should look at the future in order to be able to build the proper conditions for all mothers, in order to improve, regardless of their social status. All conflicts and contradictions of the welfare state, of the current welfare state faced with the economic changes, should lead the politicians and decision makers to put the family mainstreaming at the center of the policies. It is about sustainable social systems. In order to get there, it is important to rethink the gender mainstreaming in order to reach a higher equality between national wealth beyond GDP and putting family mainstreaming at the center of the policies. As for international, European and national policies, they should be rethought, revisited as well, in order to reach higher social justice, one that prevents latent discriminations and precarity, because investing in higher solidarity between generations is an acknowledged value and a very important one. The debate is now open. I would like to thank you for your attention. Thank you.